What is up, everyone? It's Ezra here at Moto247, and welcome back to another episode of the Moto247 Show. Today's episode is episode number 33, and I'll be here with Tom Woodford, taking a deep dive into the Supercross season and talking about all the craziness. It's been three rounds of craziness to a complete max. A few different winners in the 450 class, Michael Mosman getting a win in the 250 class, Christian Craig. It's kind of been, had that class on lockdown with the first three rounds, even though he got third in the last round, but, he came back from pretty much dead last there, so he had a great ride. But overall, it's been a really crazy season, and I feel like every year, I even said this in the podcast, it's like every year it's so stacked, the field is just stacked, and it's hard to make predictions, But this year, they really took it to another level this year. This year is so hard. If you take a look on the results, take a look down to like 15th through 22nd. There's some pretty big names in there, former champions in the 250 class as well. So it's just, and I don't know, like honestly, it's kind of mind-blowing at this point that like there's hardly any privateers in the main events nowadays. Like the 250 class, I feel like is shrinking for sure. Like I have to go back and I kind of want to take a look at the results and just see how many privateers are in there, but it's not even that really. I'm just really talking about the 450s. Like that's like obviously there's hardly any privateers in the 450s. Like I said, there's former champions barely getting top 15s now, so it's just really crazy nowadays. And like if you're a privateer, it's almost like a win if you get into the main event now, like especially. So it's really crazy, but yeah, it's gonna lead to some good podcasts, I guess, just Tom and I and Dean, and then when Jordan hops on here and for his first episode, talk about all the craziness that's going on. And we still have a lot of rounds to go, I believe. What are we at, like 14 right now? I believe, 30, or is it 14? But anyways, it's a super long way to go in this season, and we got three different winners in the 450 class. The 250 West looks like Christian Craig has it, unless something crazy happens, which, the sport of motocross and supercross is kind of unpredictable at this point, with injuries and everything. So, but besides that, he looks like, he has that in the bag, even though there's a lot of fast guys in that class, including Hunter Lawrence. Like I said in the last episode, Hunter Lawrence is right there too, so he hopefully he can just get better starts and run up front early with Christian, and then who knows, he can really give him a run for his money, and might change my opinion for sure. But definitely know Hunter's capable of doing a lot of good things. But anyways, ready to take a deep dive into the Supercross season here with Tom. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoy. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too, and I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating, and that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then their link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at Whiskey_Throttle_Grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps, MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants.
And we're going episode 33 of the MOTO247 show, and we're three rounds into the 2022 Supercross season, and I've said this, but man, it's a crazy year so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be back on talking to you about some Supercross tonight. Crazy round in San Diego. If you want to just kick it off, man, the 250 class. I mean, when we go to main event, what a crazy ride for Christian Craig. I think that's on everybody's mind after that round and how great that was of a comeback that was. He was dead last and came back to third. I mean, what a crazy ride for him.
Yeah, he rode really well and just showed that he should be a champion, and hopefully this year he'll be able to get it done. But man, like you said, it was a crazy ride, and it was getting a little interesting there because when he caught up to Freezy, you know, he saw as you guys saw if you watched it, you know, Freezy, you know, put him high in the corner, and then he eventually, you know, got around him. But yeah, came back from 22nd to third, and in the 15-minute main, that's not that bad at all, and still didn't lose that many points to Hunter Lawrence there. So that's really key going into round four in Anaheim.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to keep an eye on Vince Freezy. We all know he's defensive like crazy, and I mean, it showed last night, or I'm sorry, the other night too, with his ride against Christian Craig. I mean, he did not take it easy on him, and I don't think he will with anybody for that matter. But it's pretty fun to watch, man. It makes it interesting as heck. So
yeah, like, he's weird. Like, I don't know what to think of him yet. Like, we all, you know, seeing him over the years, it seems like he's been a pro forever now, but like, just with him moving out of the 250 class, and plus the depth in the 250 West isn't like that good this year. Like, there's the top guys are really good, Mosman, Lawrence, and Craig, but like after that, like obviously there's a couple more guys, but after that it kind of thins out. But with him, it's like, I don't know where to put him. Like, we're three rounds in, so we're, you know, a good third of the way in the championship, but still, it's like, I feel like he can, you know, run up there around the top five and just cause issues for the guys, you know, like Lawrence, if he gets a bad start, or Craig, like, you know, what happened last week. But yeah, it's going to be crazy with that, you know, with Freezy.
Yeah, Mosman really pulled it out there, man. I know they did that interview with him. I don't know if you got to catch that before the race there. They had a pretty long interview with him, and I don't know, that seemed to have sparked something. He came out of those gates and he was ready. Really, really happy to see him up front. I think he deserves it. He's a great rider, young kid, and you know, just, I love his style. He's a technician out there, and he deserved to win. I think arguably, people could argue that Hunter Lawrence definitely deserves a win too. I'm really hoping that does come for him, because, you know, he's been fighting right up there at the top the entire time, came out, won the heat, did really well. And of course, you know, Lawrence brothers, everybody loves him. So yeah, I'm just really hopeful that Hunter comes out with a win here soon, because I think he deserves it. But Michael Mosman had a hell of a ride, and I'm really happy for him too.
Oh, for sure. It's kind of awkward for me, because whenever I watch a race or a football game or anything, like, I have to be rooting for one team or one person. Like, I just can't watch it with not rooting for anyone. Like, I just feel weird, even if I don't care about the football teams or if there's no in particular rider that I really am a huge fan of. Like, I just had to pick someone, you know, wanting them to win. And with that being said, I really like Michael Mosman, Hunter Lawrence I really like, and Craig I like too. So it's like, I don't know who I want to win.
any of them work.
Yeah, like Hunter was right there. I'm like, oh, hold them off. But at the same time, I'm like, I really want Hunter to win, because that's a long story with Hunter Lawrence. Like, he was really good over in Europe, and he was the man over there. And no one knew about Jet a couple years ago. It was Hunter, you know, and they came over here because of Hunter. And to see him not like be putting in the results that I think he thinks he should have put in, you know, which sucks. But yeah, just to see him be up there now, and last year he did pretty good in Supercross compared to his first year, but just to see him do good is really good. But yeah, like I said, all three of those riders, I'm like, I really want all of them to win the title. Craig, he's 30 years old. He said this is his last year in the 250 class, so I don't know, I'm kind of leaning towards Craig, and plus, you know, he just looks really fast this year. But Hunter Lawrence, yeah, with him and Jet, I feel like he's everyone's focusing their attention out of the two brothers, Lawrence brothers, that is, on Jet, and he's kind of in the background, but yeah, he's still really fast, and he's capable of winning a championship as well. And with Mosman, I always knew Mosman was a super nice kid. I didn't grow up racing with him, but I always watched. Yeah, I'm in the same age group as him, so I was always watching his class growing up, and he seems like a super nice kid. And actually, I was listening to Paul Pomex at work this week and just found out how nice the kid is, and it was hilarious. If you want to tune in to that, go with their last episode to hear this crazy story, but I'll wrap it up sum it up real quick. Mosman is goes to a church, and there's a homeless guy there. He ended up giving the homeless guy a place to stay at his house or apartment or whatever, and end up getting his with multiple guys actually. And long story short, one of the guys ended up stealing his car. So,
oh no!
So I should add that in right here, because I was laughing at that. Like what's his face? I'm Steve at Pulp, and who is Daniel Blair was the co-host for that episode.
Oh wow!
They're just laughing, and I'm just sitting there working away, and I'm trying not to like laugh because I'm working with headphones in at my work. And I'm just trying to keep a straight face as he tells these crazy stories. Like, yeah, man, come stay at my house. And then one guy was really good, but he was a druggie. And the next guy stole his car, but he said that's for another episode. So I guess if you want to hear that long story, it's actually not that long, but you had tune into, I think it was episode 490, whatever the latest one was, of Pulp and Max, and really good stuff there with Mosman. But
that's awesome.
Just, I don't know, I'm rooting for the guy.
Absolutely. Really, yeah. Hey, Daniel Blair, if you're listening, give Moto247 a shout-out on your podcast, yeah?
Yeah, that, and did you hear that he's going up into the booth this week for, I think, the next three or four rounds with Rookie?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so I didn't know that.
He's filling in for lead Diffie there. I don't know where he actually, I think Lee's going to the Winter Olympics or something. I don't know.
Very cool.
Yeah, Daniel Blair's up there for the next three or four rounds, so I think that should be really good. No offense against Lee. Everyone seems to hate that guy, but
yeah,
I don't
have a problem. I kind of like it. I don't know. He brings another aspect to the sport. I think a lot of people do come from that side of the world on race motocross and supercross. So hey, I welcome it, man.
Yeah, so like I didn't care for him that much, but he seems like a really nice guy. And
sure,
I just was so used to Ralph and Jeff. So
yeah, right, right.
Yeah, just something new, I guess. But Daniel Blair,
he's awesome. I love that guy.
A professional racer, and he's been up in the booth. I think he did some arena cross stuff, and he's been doing the Race Day Live for a couple of years now. So that should be good. This weekend. So yeah.
Yeah, you brought up team sports and how you always have to be rooting for a team or a person. Something that I'm not much of a ball and stick sport guy. Every time somebody asks me what's my favorite sport or my favorite team, my answer is Kawasaki Team Green in motocross, supercross. But I always find myself rooting for the underdog. I don't know why. I just love that story. So, the guys that, had to struggle and had to come up. I mean, that is why I'm a Roczen fan, is because of that, his two injuries that were pretty rough, and the comeback story, man, I'm all about those. So, I always tend to root for those guys. Of course, Tomac is fantastic on a motorcycle, had a killer year a couple years back, and so of course I do like those guys, but I'm always rooting for the underdog. So I guess in the 250s, if I'm looking at this right now, I really want to see Hunter Lawrence come up, obviously. I think he deserves a shot, like I said before. But other than that, Joe Shimoda, man, I want that kid to catch a break, man. He's had some bad luck, and he's had a heck of a year coming back up from the bottom. You know, and I just see so much potential in him. I can't wait to see him come up at the top and get his first podium or first win. I'm sorry.
For sure. I have to agree with you on the underdog thing. That's exactly me. For the most part, when I'm watching stuff, just something about the underdog and seeing them beat the top guy or the whatever the number one seed team in, you know, football or whatever. It's always awesome to see. And for Joe, yeah, like I've been watching him ever since he came over to the States, and just to see how good he's gotten at Supercross, because that seems like if you're a European guy or even just grown up here in the States, the amateurs really don't ride Supercross that much, so it's always a little bit interesting to see him kind of adjust to that after they look super comfortable in the outdoor track. But yeah, with Joe, he just looks super smooth, and he's been having bad luck. He's been having a couple bad get off, but in the whoops there, that front flip. But anyways, he's been looking really good, and I think he can put it together where he's up there battling. I don't know if he's going to get a main event win with Craig looking really good, but maybe he can be up there battling for the win in the final, you know, couple laps or whatever. But yeah, I definitely think he's capable of getting wins in the future for sure.
Certainly. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. So what's that put us for the 250s? That puts Craig in the overall standings, if I'm looking at this correctly. That puts Craig in third for the overall. That's surprising. But again, you know, we've said it before on the show. It's all about consistency. So Craig's had the 1-1 and looks like 1-1-3, and that equals a 3 in the end behind Moserman and Hunter. Am I looking at this correctly? Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
my points have him in first.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was going to say 1-1-3 should not equate to 3. I'm so sorry. And yeah, you're correct. So he is still up at the top. I don't know why my Racer X point standings. I'm looking at the wrong page. Sorry, everybody. So where does that put everybody? What's the top three in the 250 West standings? Chris, that's Craig in first, Hunter in second, and Moserman in third, right? That should be.
Yep. Craig with 73 points, Hunter with 101, okay, with 67, and Michael Moserman with 62, and it drops off the Freezy there in fourth, a little sneaky fourth
position. Okay, right. So Hunter's only 6 points off the lead right now. You know, things could change here pretty quick. You never know. But Craig, I mean, what a solid ride by that guy, man. I don't know if he can keep it on two wheels. That man is unstoppable.
Yeah, he just looks so good on that start race in the Yamaha, and like I said, and what he said earlier this year, that this is his last year. He's 30 years old. He's in the 250 class. Everyone's ragging on him, which, my opinion is, I don't care. You know, if he can't get a ride in the 450 class, I don't mind him being in the 250 class, getting a paycheck, rather than going into a stacked 450 main on a satellite team or something. But I know he has those the deals with like he had with Honda now Star, where he's racing 450 and
oh yeah, stores. He'll but, definitely. I mean, if he comes, especially too, if he comes out this year with a championship, he's definitely going to be getting that factory ride in the 450s next year. So
yeah, and I hope so, because there's a lot of guys that get titles like Bogle, but they don't get like a big factory ride.
Mm-hmm.
Bogle's kind of been bouncing around, but like there's guys like Malcolm that had a 450 ride. He has actually, the last couple of years, you know, he's been right up there and had the Star Racing ride and the Husqvarna. But anyways, my point is, it's kind of weird seeing him win a 250 title Supercross and not be able to get something for 450 class. But with Craig, I think that's different, because he's raced 450 outdoors for a few years now, and he's got a podium, I believe. He's been up there inside the top five, looking really smooth and consistent there. So, you know, he's proven himself in the 450 class. So
yeah, it would really surprise me, man. I mean, just the way that he's riding, he's on rails, he's definitely, you know, everybody's focusing their attention on him. It would really surprise me if he didn't walk away with a 450 ride for next year.
Oh, for sure. And looking at the results, Hunter is consistent with a 3-2-2. And it goes down to Moserman in third with a 6-4-1. So that's going to take some work for Moserman there. What's he down? He is down 11 points. So he just needs to be consistent. And unless something crazy happens to Craig, I don't see him being like I guess, outside the top two, really. I guess maybe I can see Mosman and Hunter getting them every once in a while, but I see, you know, if Craig doesn't win, I think it's going to be Hunter for the rest of the
championship. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I am hopeful for that too. I mean, of course, I want to see Craig win as well. So your top three guys there are definitely. I'm in the same boat you are. Doesn't really matter to me which one wins because I want them all to. But unfortunately, there's only room for one at the top. So may the best man win, and we'll be sure to go along for the ride and see the entertainment.
Yeah, and like I said in this intro, this podcast, it's just. Like, with the crazy season, I think that's just going to lead to a good podcast where, not like if this was 10 years ago, and saying, oh, Rick, or that's more than 10 years ago, I guess, when Ricky was, he retired in 07, but when Ricky was around, or Villopoto, you know, it's like, let's make our picks, and it's like, oh, well, obviously, Ricky's going to win, or James, that's like, it's one of those two guys, or it's Villopoto, you know, like, you know, when he was racing there with James as well. It's like there wasn't too many guys to pick from it, and it's the complete opposite this year. So it should make it fun for the viewers every Saturday night, and for us, like, kind of being a little, not speechless, but just it makes it a little bit harder for us to make predictions. So
absolutely. Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot more to talk about. Let's just put it that way, right? Yeah,
not more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it was back in the day, I mean, I don't know what you were doing back when Carmichael was dominating, but my one of my buddies, Tom Stanton is his name. He him and I used to go back and forth and paper each other's lockers. We'd go to the computer lab. I'd print out a bunch of pictures of Carmichael. He'd go whenever he could and print out a bunch of pictures of Bubba. And we knew the combinations to each other's lockers, and he was a Stewart fan, I was a Carmichael fan, and we'd go plaster the insides of each other's lockers with our favorite rider. So his locker would have a bunch of Carmichael pictures just posted all over the inside of it. So it'd be a nice little surprise for him. And we had that rivalry. We still do. We still have the same rivalry. I root for Ken Rocks, and he's a Tomac fan now. So we've kept it alive, but that would pretty much sum up the podcast back then. It would just be back and forth.
Yeah, well, this weekend, let's sum it up. Ricky's going to win, or James. So
right, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah. I guess a lot better. Like, in a way, it kind of stinks because I was looking at qualifying and, like, let's see if I can pull up real quick. If not, oh, well. Where is this at? 450. Okay, so Sexton won. He qualified 7th. Tomac 2nd. Qualified 3rd. And Ferrandis got 3rd and qualified 10th. So it's like,
doesn't
matter at all. Like, if you want to make your Rocky Mountain picks from qualifying, it's, I guess, just to watch the riders and see how they look. But for time wise, it's like not like you can really trust that too much. So right. That makes it a little bit more fun, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually just looking at that too. I'm going to fail to pull it up now, but you can see their best lap time. So, for instance, looks like Moseman's best lap time was a 48.6. And even though Christian Craig was, you know, flying, and you were like, oh my gosh, he got all the way up to 3rd. His best lap time was a 49.5. So he was a whole, almost a second off of Moseman, even at that, with his best lap time. So it's just, you know, it all boils down to that one great word, consistency, and how many laps you can do at those low numbers. So, you know, just one lap at that pace is not going to prove the overall at the end. It's a matter of, you know, each lap and consistency and doing it over and over and over again. So.
No, definitely, and I think it's kind of weird this year if you really think about it, take a step back and look at it. The 250 West, like I said, there's not much depth there, and there's a couple top guys, and that kind of, there's some factory guys that are really fast, but I don't think they're going to win, and then it drops down. And then if you go in the 450 class, everyone's fast. If you go back at 15th, it's someone fast. I don't know, for example, guys that have really good rides, I should say. Mm-hmm. They go to the 250 East class, which, if no one else gets hurt, it should be deeper than 250 West, meaning just that the way these championships play out, I think all three of them are going to be a lot different from each other, where if you get a 10th place start in 450 class, you're kind of screwed. No matter how fast you are, it's not going to be like Tomac back in 2017. I just watched a race earlier today in the highway, right where he just came through the pack. Or it might have been Detroit, I'm not sure. But anyways, came through the pack, where this year you can't do that. Even if he had that speed he did from 2017, you can't do that in field. Then you go to the 250 West. Like Craig, he proved that you could do it in the 250 West. He's really fast, and he, I think, the best guy in the class. But still, it's possible, you know. But then going to the 250 East, that's going to be a whole different story. And I guess we'll see how that plays out. But I think it's going to be a little bit of a mix between the 250 West and 450 class, just for if you get a bad start and just all the depth there as well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 450s. You want to get into them?
Yeah, let's dive into the 450s.
Awesome, man. So my whole analogy of chasing your tail seems like that worked out for Chase this week. He came out with that win, which I'm really happy for him, man. That was well deserved, and we all knew he had the speed. It's just about keeping it up on those two wheels and moving forward. So he did really well. Let's see, my pick last week was Jason Anderson for first. I think we all saw that, how that went. Unfortunately, I forget what lap they were on, but he started having some bike issues. I think I saw on Instagram, he said, what is he a part of? Team Fried? Is that what it was? He said he had a little too much fried. Something like that. His bike ended up, he had bike issues in the main event, and it just sucked the life right out of that bike, and he was looking solid too. I really thought by the end of the moto he'd be giving Chase a run for his money there. What were your thoughts on that?
I wasn't sure if he was gonna catch him. He was like 8 seconds back, but still, like, I wasn't sure, so I was just waiting. I'm like kind of at the edge of my seat with that, but I knew for like definitely for sure whatever that he had second lockdown. Like, he got home
at
there, and Chase said he kind of put on cruise control a little ways in. I forgot if he said it was like halfway or what, but anyways, he put on cruise control there. But maybe if Anderson, he saw Anderson creeping into the pitcher, and maybe he would ride a little bit harder and end up making a mistake like he did in Anaheim, you know, who knows how that would have went. But with him, he's looking really good, and I'm really pumped for him. We saw him in 2018 looking really good, ended up getting that title, got a couple wins earlier on in the season, and got what was it, back-to-back wins, I think, and they even mentioned it, like in San Diego and Oakland or whatever. And then he got one later on in the season. I really don't remember right now, but anyways, he got that title, looked really good, and just after that, you know, 19 through 21, just didn't look the same. And like last year, actually in the last little bit during the East Coast, he looked pretty good, honestly. Kind of joking around that he dropped the neck brace and he ended up looking better. So that's kind of funny how that played out. But anyways, fast forwarding to this season, he's looking really good on the Kawasaki. He even said this week that he's like, man, this bike is, it's like made for me. It's, you know.
Well, he rides it like he stole it, man. I think he looks so much better on this bike than he did on that Husky. Nothing against Huskies, but he just looks amazing. I can't get over how quick he is on that bike. And I don't know, he's just got his crap together. I think the team change was a good move for him. And I think it's only upwards from here for him if they can figure out the technical issue on the bike. Could have just been, you know, maybe when he hit rocks and front tires, something came loose or something. But I know that a lot of people I saw online, people were saying that it was karma for taking rocks and out. But whatever, he came into that corner, rocks and cut in, and it just happened, man. It was straight up racing. I didn't see anything wrong with it. He was coming into the corner and rocks and cut in, and he got taken out. And it was kind of ironic that he was so much faster than the bike, ended up having the issues, and then Roczen did get by him right at the end. I didn't know if it was going to happen at first, but he slowed down significantly. So that did equate to an eighth place for Jason Anderson. But still, you know, you got to keep an eye on him. I wouldn't let that stop anybody from putting him in your top three at the very least. I think he's a solid contender this year and somebody we got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and which really sucks for him is he would have had to red plate if he would have got second. And,
yep,
you know, like I, if I'm in a sport or whatever I'm doing, or if I'm racing, I'm always, what if I did this? What if I did this? But it looked like he had second lockdown. He was really fast. And I was surprised when he passed Tomac, because if you're thinking about the move from Kawasaki with Tomac leaving, going to Star, then them getting Anderson, it's like that's a really good pickup by Kali, but he's not a as fast as Tomac. He's not the guy. He's not that big of a name as Tomac. He's obviously, everyone knows who Anderson is. He's a top guy, but not, you know, it feels like the team's kind of downgrading a little bit. And
sure.
Right when I saw him pass Tomac, I thought it was kind of funny, you know. Realized I'll replace
irony him. All over the place.
Yeah, so but yeah, it's kind of weird when you talk about Husky and Kali, because Kali was always used to be a really good bike, and even going back when Villopoto was riding them, they're really good. And now, you know, last decade or so, KTM's really stepped up, and now they have three brands with KTM, GasGas, and Husqvarna, and it seems like those bikes are dialed in, and they are the best. But it's kind of cool seeing the change, him making the change to Kawasaki, and looking better too. I think it's definitely surprised a lot of people. And like I said, he would have had the points lead, which sucks, but do I have the points from him? Yeah, I do. Which sucks for sure, but still, the points right now after round three are by far the tightest I've ever seen since I've been watching Supercross a long, long time ago. Yeah, he is in fifth in points after three rounds with that issue of getting an eighth place in San Diego, and he is only 5 points down from Tomac.
That's crazy. And there's two, there should be, I think second and third are tied for points, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. It goes Tomac there with in first with 59, Chase Sexton tied with Cooper Webb for second.
That is insane.
So they're 1 point down. And then Barsha's still creeping there. He's kind of,
wow.
I know he's been, we got to talk about that pass too, before I forget in a second.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he's creeping there in fourth. He is at 56, so 3 points down from the lead. Then rounding out the top five is Jason Anderson. Well, I guess Plessinger is tied with him too. Heck, with 54 points. And I can keep on going down this list forever. They're really tight.
That's amazing, man. Yeah, there's multiple spots that are tied for points. I think, yeah, there's second and third are tied for points. Chase Sexton, Cooper Webb at 58. Jason Anderson and Aaron Plessinger at 54 points. And Ken Roczen or Malcolm Stewart and Ken Roczen at 52 points. So that just goes to show, man, how absolutely stacked this is. And if you want to get – and 23rd and 24th, Frederick Norn and Ryan Brees tied for 5 points. But, man, just an insane season. I can't wait to see what shakes up. And honestly, whoever wins this, like, they are the ultimate champion in my mind because of how tight everything is. It just goes to prove, you know, who has the most salt.
Yeah, this season's definitely weird because – well, consistency is going to be huge. It's a huge every year, obviously, like with Dungy, even when Tomac was putting in the flashy performances of looking really fast and hauling ass. And yeah. Dungy, he was just right there, consistent podium, a second, a third, and somehow gets a title and then gets another title. But yeah, this year is going to be weird because you need that consistency, but you do need speed, which obviously every year you need. But with that being said, like, because even if you get a fifth place start, there's going to be five guys that can also win, or four guys ahead of you that could also win as well. And it's going to be a balance between speed and consistency. And so far, everyone's been all over the place. It's like, I think I said this in the last episode. If not, I was thinking it this week. And, you know, if you got 10 guys or so, 8-10 guys, and put them in a list and hit shuffle, and it's like that's the result every weekend. Like, there's no really way to predict it at all. Like, if you want to make predictions, which we will later in the episode, I think Anderson is going to do really good. But besides that, it's like, we don't know. Like, Tomac
right.
has a points lead right now, and he hasn't even led a lap, let alone
yep.
one race so far in the first three rounds. So it's like,
it's insane.
Like, well, he hasn't got a win. That's really odd. But he's led X amount of laps. It's like, no, he hasn't led any laps at all.
Right. Hey, man, that proves that consistency word is very important.
Yeah, and he got a good start, and this week, this past week that is, in San Diego. So hopefully he can do that again for Anaheim too, because heck, even with his good start, he couldn't get the win. So it's just hard. Like we said in the last podcast, Chase Sexton's looking really good. I didn't pick him last week. I believe I forgot who I even picked. I should have jotted it down. But anyways, I was thinking about him, but I'm like, could he really put it all together? Nothing against him at all, but he didn't win yet before that race. And I'm like, can he put it all together? Like, I know he has the speed. He looks phenomenal on the bike. But can he just, you know, put it all together, which he did. So really pumped for him. And now it's just going to make it hard because Webb's been looking bad. He had an illness there last, or I think he was fine in San Diego. I don't know, but I know in Oakland for sure he said he had a illness. So he's only 1 point back. So it's like, it's weird because if you think of the first three rounds, you're like, man, Webb's been really off. He hasn't been looking good compared to what he was last year. But then you look at the points, you're like, damn, he's in third. Well, with that being said, he's 1 point down. So
I gotta tell you, when Cooper Webb says he's sick, put him in first. Like, I don't know why, but I don't know if it was last year, maybe 2 years ago. Do you remember when he was so sick? Like, you could hear it in his voice, and like he I don't know what he had. It wasn't COVID, so it had to be like 2 years ago. But I think he had the flu or something, and the guy came out and won. It was like insane. So he's one of those guys you gotta watch out for, man. He may look and sound like he's so sick, and then he comes out and puts the W on the board, man.
That's why, yeah, he has me confused, because even before I found out he was sick, I'm like, he doesn't look as good as he did before. Sexton's looking good, Anderson's looking good. But when I went to go make my picks, like I said a second ago, Sexton, I felt like he can be up there, but I don't know if he can get it done. But with Webb, I'm like, I really don't want to pick him because he's not looking that good right now. But it's Cooper Webb. Like, we've seen this before the last couple of years since he's moved the Red Bull KTM team there, where it's like you count him out and he's boom, he's right there, and he just, you know, passed Roczen for the win. You know, it's like,
yep,
it's like you can't really count that guy out, and he has that the mental strength that I don't think anyone else has. Like, no offense to anyone else, but he's just like mentally like strong as hell. So
yeah
nothing I can't say nothing bad about the guy. Like, it's hard to root against him. I'm not really a huge Webb fan, but just the amount of respect I have for the guy is crazy or huge, because just the, what he's done in the last couple of years is you know, awesome to see.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you, man. So I know you said that you wanted to talk about a pass. I think you were Barsha.
Yeah, well, both the Barsha was going through, and according to Justin Brayton, I don't know the exact quote. Last couple episodes, I was going through and listening, and you hear me bring up something. I'm like, I don't know exactly what he said. So in the future, I got to jot these down for you guys, but sorry about that. But he said something about how he was torpedoing people. Brayton said that about Barsha, because we saw Bogle retaliate on what's his face, on Barsha.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't know what happened before that. They didn't show us on TV, unfortunately. But there was pictures posted on Instagram this week, and it looked pretty bad with Barsha really getting into Bogle. I don't know where it's posted, but if you guys just go to Barsha or Bogle's Instagram homepage and just click on the photos they're tagged in, you'll probably see a ton of pictures of the same one of him cleaning out Bogle. It's absolutely crazy. So Bogle goes a lap down, and he's already in 21st or whatever. I think he was 21st. And it looked like he stalled it there. Then he just, like, T-boned Barsha, sent him off the track. He went along the whoops. Bogle didn't go down. He just looked like nothing happened, which was hilarious. And then Barsha, I thought Barsha was going to put his hands up in the air yelling, but he just went on with his race, which is hilarious. But end up, the result of it was Barsha getting docked, because not from the takeout. He cleaned a Bogle out, didn't get, and apparently other guys too, which I didn't see, but the word was from Brayton, he cleaned out other guys. So he didn't get penalized for that, but he got penalized for getting on the gas off the track when he crashed there. So it's like he got on the gas alongside that whoops section, and he got penalized one position, or docked one position, I should say, from that. And then Bogle got disqualified. So that's kind of the, not the rumor, but just the gossip around the internet about all this is, you know, everyone has different opinions. But my opinion is, I think Barr should be docked more positions, but with no footage, I guess it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
But good. And then he's on probation though, so that's another.
Yeah. They don't call him Bam Bam for nothing.
Yeah. And people thought he was getting soft the last couple of years, but you know, last year and this year, I think he's bringing it back for sure. But then with Bogle, I agree with it, and even I think Bogle said he agreed with it as well. Like obviously that there's no place in our sport for that, which I'm not really pissed off at Bogle because I thought that was a really good move. I think Barsha deserved that.
So, yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, if you have to get by people, get by them clean. I mean, they're professionals, you know. Yeah. So I totally get it. It's like, wait a minute, if you do something, then that it almost seems intentional, and it probably is. I can't say it because I'm not the one on that seat. But you know, people can usually tell the difference between an accident and intentional, and then it's a matter of you know how often it happens. There's a common denominator, and it's pretty clear that Barsha just rides that way. That he gets pissed off pretty easily. He goes into attack mode and he tries to cut you off, take you out, do what he has to do to get by you. Which, you know, if you're fast enough, just get by him, you know, go by him and get around him and do it clean. I think, you know, when you watch Roczen, I've never seen Roczen intentionally take anybody out, and it's clean racing. And he's just going to take you through raw speed or cornering or technique, just like a lot of the riders out there, Tomac included. I mean, you know, so I'm on board with you. I agree completely that people that are blatantly just out there taking people out. And it's not even that I think Barsha is faster. That's the thing. That's why I don't understand why he does that. So I know it's a controversial topic, and I know people, you know, have their own opinions on it, and so be it. But I totally agree with you that, you know, there's no need for it. And if you're just out there, it can really hurt people. So I disagree with that tactic.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I believe rubbing is racing, but I think it's way over the line. And at Moto247, we hosted, I think it was 4 esports supercross championships. So we used Race Director, where it looked like a real live supercross race with the TV angles and our camera angles, that is. And we'd had to make the call. It was pretty clean racing for the most part, but there was some, you know, times where, and fortunately it wasn't that much, or that often, I should say, but where people would be aggressive and take someone out. So we'd have to watch the video and go through all that and stuff. And if I saw that in a video game, I know that's kind of different than real life, obviously.
Right.
But I would obviously give them some kind of penalty if it was docking them or disqualifying him or whatever it was. Then, you know, if it's real life, I think that he should, you know, I believe, like I said earlier, like he should
definitely ups the ante
for that. So
it ups the ante. I mean, that's, yeah. I think that it deserves to be reviewed. See, that's the thing. And that's the tough part. And that's the controversy with Supercross Motocross, because you believe like everything should go because this is racing, you know, we're all. We aren't politically correct, and we're not, you know, this and that. We're out there, we're racing. You're racing, you're on the track, you follow these set of rules, and whatever happens goes. Okay, I get that, and I get that at some point it becomes a matter of opinion, but I think it's pretty clear when somebody blatantly cuts a corner and takes somebody out or guns for them versus, you know, a racing incident. It's pretty easy to determine for the most part. And I'm not going to say every time, but especially like there should be like a warning system or something where it's like, dude, look, like that looked bad. So we're going to give you a warning, and you get 2 of these, and the third time we're going to start docking you and charging you for it. You know, it just needs to be done that way, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be better this year with the FIM dropping out and not having Gallagher
making
calls. And I forgot, or not forgot, but I'm not sure exactly who the team was with him making those calls. But I know it's a team of 3 guys now from the AMA with Barsha's old team manager Jay Bone there, so
yeah,
that's gonna make it interesting, and I think it should be better, honestly, making calls. And with him being on probation, you know, that's kind of like a warning, and where if something happens, which who knows with Bam Bam, it might happen again. And yeah, before I go any further with this, want to say If Nick Holden, if you're listening, sorry for talking crap about your guy Barsha. It's a long story, but Barsha is his man there. So,
very good.
Long story, you guys.
You're well, listening. Hey, I can kind of make. I actually. I don't know if everybody knows about Poshmark, but Poshmark is like where you can go buy the app and you go on there and you can find clothes. Like if you like a certain name brand of clothes, you can get them and you just tell people like how much you want for it. And you say like, I'll spend $20 on that pair of jeans. And then they'll rebuttal and tell you like, no, I want 25. And you just haggle back and forth. So I decided when I was on there, I looked up motocross and, I found this lady had all this Honda stuff. She had a ton of Honda stuff. And I started reading and it said, I'm selling this for my mother's friend who was a longtime manager at Honda. And so I started talking to her. Apparently the guy worked there from 1973 till 2011. And he's got all this stuff. So I bought the whole collection and I collect motocross, supercross stuff. So whatever Honda, it was close enough. I had heard he was a manager, a race manager for the Honda team. I didn't get his name. He didn't want to give it out, which I respect. But I got all this stuff. And one of the things was a Muscle Milk, lanyard. And on that on the lanyard was a USB. And I don't know if he knew that he gave me that USB, but when I plugged it into my laptop, because I was like, oh, what the heck? I'm going to check it out. I had, I think it was, geez, it was Justin Barsha. And my gosh, I'm going to shoot myself. I can't remember who the other guy was. It was Team Muscle Milk for Team Honda. And I found like, it was a bunch of stuff on there. I don't know that I'm supposed to have, but but there was a bunch
who was
of stuff.
On that? About. Was Han on that team that year? Or was that Geico he was on?
It wasn't, who did you say, Han? It wasn't Han. Oh, man, I'm going to, it's a good racer, too. I'm just, I can't remember. I'm burnt right now. I don't think it was Brayton. Yeah, I'm gonna look it up now, but I got that and it was really cool. So I'm really stoked to know that I've got the hookup at least through the friend that knows might have a bunch of Justin Barsha stuff. So I do like Barsha. I like the guy. I grew up in the same area that he did. I'm from upstate New York. He is. I've met him a couple times. He's good, but the racing, I think he needs to tone it down a little bit personally, just because I think he's whatever, you know, any publicity is good publicity, right? That's what they say. So I don't know if that's the angle, but I think he is super fast. And I think I wish that he would, you know, tone down the taking people out and focus on racing people hard and straight. I just think that would be better personally, but I do like the guy and I'm super excited to maybe, score some Justin Barsha stuff because I've kept that contact wide open with her. So if I do get anything, I'll send you something as well.
Yeah, that's definitely really cool. And plus getting that little cherry on top with the USB. And
that's right. I know. I don't know if they meant to. It looked a little funky. I'm telling you, like it almost looked like it was broken, but I was like, I think that's a USB. And I plugged it in and sure enough, I have a bunch of like the race team, like their bios and it was pretty cool, man. This guy was, he was somebody. He was, again, I mean, you're not there from 73 to 2011 running their race team. If you're a nobody, he wouldn't give me his name. So I don't know who he is. I bet I could figure it out, but.
Yeah. I'm trying to think back. I'm like, I shouldn't know these guys' names if he was a team manager, but I'm kind of brain farting here. So.
Yeah, no worries.
But yeah, I agree with you for sure. Like what I said, Rubens Racing, but, like not everyone should be 100% clean, which that would be honestly really cool, but it is what it is. But yeah, that's, I think him and Freezy take it a little bit too far. So hopefully he tunes it back a little bit, and which I think he did for a couple of years, but we just didn't see him up front. So maybe that's what the case was, but yeah, he has the speed, you know, seems like a wild child and just seeing him crazy fast and everything, I'm just watching highlights a second ago. I'm like, his corner speed. Oh my God.
Ah, I just remembered who it was. I'm sorry. Trey Kennard.
How? Oh my God. He's like,
yeah, I know. Gosh, it just dawned on me. I'm like, thank you. I don't know why I've the listeners out there, I just moved my 3-bedroom house. We just got a 5-bedroom house, and I've been going nonstop. That's why the podcast is late. Sorry, Ezra. Sorry, listeners. It's just been a hectic week. We're actually recording this. It's 10:30 in my neck of the woods. So, but we had to get this out there for you, and I appreciate everybody's patience with us.
Yeah, definitely want to get them out every week, and just pump what we got. You know, the chance to do it this week.
With both yeah, players, for sure.
I'm like, I'm hoping we can get it. You know, at least one right now this week. But yeah, I'm just kind of kicking myself still. Trey Kennard.
Yeah, that's him. That's the one.
I'm kind of pissed at myself. I'm like, dang, who's a smaller name rider there? I'm like, that would like go under our radar. I'm like, thinking hard that whole time you're talking, I was thinking. And damn.
Yeah, that USP it had their team video. It had each race or both the racers' bios and racing for Team Honda, and it was pretty cool, man. I didn't know that when I bought this stuff, I was like, okay, he worked for Honda. That doesn't mean that he's motocross, supercross necessarily. He did have Ricky Carmichael got a Jeremy McGrath's autographed 1-800 collect hat. There's some pretty cool pieces I have, man. I got a Honda jersey that's from the 70s. Don't remember the signatures that are on them, but they're really cool, man. I ended up getting it. I bought the whole bundle and got a deal on them, so I'm super excited. So any listeners out there that want to look for that stuff, man, you got to get creative men and women, I should say, but you got to get creative and go on different websites and just look up motocross, supercross. You can find some pretty bad things on there. It's awesome.
Stuff hidden. But let's, I guess, dig in or dumb. Think about our picks, honestly.
The listeners, obviously, my last week's picks didn't work out, but man, they were looking good. Jason Anderson, I thought, had it. And man, I still think he does. So he's gonna be somewhere in the top three.
So you're gonna kick off the 250?
Sure. Let's go 250. I'll kick it off. I am gonna put the upset out there. I know probably everybody else in the world is gonna put Christian Craig there. I really want to see, and I hope it's not just wishful thinking. I want to see Hunter Lawrence get his first W. I think he is at that point, and I'll explain the reason why I'm putting Hunter Lawrence in first. It's because I really believe in my heart. You saw him up on the podium last week, and he was upset. And I've noticed something with Hunter Lawrence. When he starts to feel that way or get upset, then he turns it around, and that anger he's able to build on. A lot of riders, it's a downward spiral. But in the past, and I could be wrong, but this is just my thought. These are my picks. I've seen him build on that, and getting upset actually gives him that drive to prove to himself, because he's upset with himself, that he can win. So I'm putting Hunter Lawrence in first. I know he's going to get one at some point this year, and I'm hoping that he does get it this next round. Second place, I do have Christian Craig. Obviously. And third place, I'm putting Michael Moseman. I think coming off a win, that to me, as soon as a guy wins, I don't care 250 or 450, if they haven't won in a while, or they're, you know, creeping up on it, but haven't gotten it done, when they do get it done, then in their head, they say, okay, I've got this. Now I know I can do it. And as soon as they can say, I know I can do it, well, then that puts them, you know, up there more consistently. So if he doesn't walk away with a first or second, and I've got the other two there, then I'm going to put him in third. But he very well could, you know, come back and come out in first again. But these are just predictions, folks. So I'm putting mine in, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think that was really good. I hope Hunter wins. Honestly, like we both said, we both like the top three riders with Craig, Lawrence, and Moseman. But yeah, I really want Hunter to win, honestly, this week. But I'm gonna go with Craig again, especially since you went with Hunter.
Yep.
But yeah, I think Hunter can win, and I have a good feeling about that. But the same with Craig can be said as well. Since you picked Hunter Lawrence in first there, so I'll go with Christian Craig.
And okay.
Switch the top two with you, Christian Craig, Hunter Lawrence, then Michael Mosman. I was thinking about adding Shimoda in third, but I don't know. I think Mosman's looking really good, and he's going to carry it over to Anaheim and not being a win, but a third place, which is, you know, still pretty solid.
Couldn't agree more, man. Awesome. You want to kick us off on 450s? What do you got, buddy?
every week, damn, this is hard.
Yeah, it is.
I thought last year was hard, each year. Sexton did really good last week, but Webb, I don't know, something about Webb. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of his. I don't dislike him at all or anything. I have a lot of respect for the guy, but he's always right there. Right when you count him out, like I said, he's there. He's getting the win. He's making a block pass for the lead. He's going to be there. So even though he hasn't looked the best this year, like I said earlier in the episode, I think he's going to get it done. He's 1 point out of the championship right now from Tomac. Somehow Tomac's in first, and somehow Webb's in second. I have no idea. Like, out of those, or both those two guys, they haven't looked that good compared to, let's say, Sexton or Anderson. You think it would be the other way around with the points, but it's not. But yeah. I think Webb's going to get his first win of the season and try to get that red plate back on that number one Red Bull KTM there. So I think he's going to get it done and get a win. At the same time, I kind of feel like I'm kicking myself right now because he hasn't looked that good. But like I said, he's always there. So I think he's going to get it done back in Anaheim. Second place, I'm going to go with, man, this is hard. Second, I don't know, I have to go with Chase Sexton. He's been looking good all year. But damn, Anderson's there too. And it's like Anderson, there's so many guys where I can put in the top three right now, kind of debating as I do this. And it seems like I don't have a set top three, but I think he's going to get second. No, I changed that. Okay, so it's going to be Webb. It's going to be Anderson in second, Sexton in third.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
We'll see. I get it, man. Yeah, it's a total. You never know. It's all over the board. So I think Jason Anderson is going to come back. I think he's gonna do a total 180. I think he's gonna come out swinging. Hopefully he pulls the whole shot, because if he does, he's gone. So I'm going to put Jason Anderson in first. We're going to agree on second place. I got Chase Sexton there. And I really got my hopes up on Rocks. And I think if he didn't get taken out there, that he would have been a top three contender last week as well. So I'm going to put him back there. He's my boy. I got to put him in the top three. So Jason Anderson, Chase Sexton, Ken Roczen.
Good pick. I was thinking about Roczen too when I went to go say second. I don't know if you could really tell, but my voice, I was like I'm freezing up there because not nervous, but I just can't.
Right.
Who's going to be in the top three? I'm like, Sexton. At the same time, like, my brain's like, no, Roczen, put Roczen there. No, put Tomac there. And I was going to go with Roczen, but yeah, Roczen did look really good before he got taken out in that corner, and going back to that for a split second here. That was a really awkward corner, meaning just, it was easy for guys to make block passes there.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, we were talking about Barsha earlier and taking people out. You know, that would have been chalked up to a racing incident in my mind. And I get that that's an opinion. But, you know, there was no love lost there. I don't think that it – I think Roczen, if anything, cut the corner in a little sharper than Anderson was anticipating him to. So, you know, stuff like that. I think, you know, is understandable, but, you know, if we're just taking people out to take people out, that's a little different.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, anyway,
however this goes, I think it's going to be a really good round four of the 2022 Supercross season here. A lot of good racing. The 250 West is good, but damn, the 450 is a lot better for entertainment purposes. But yeah, it's going to be a good race and a championship run as well. But one thing I want to mention right now is we just added voice messages to the podcast here, and I put it in the link for the Moto247 show on Instagram. It's the tag is at the Moto247 show, and the link in the bio is for a voice message. So if you want to ask a question or send any voice message to our show, and we'll feature, you know, maybe a couple on the show each week or something, we'll figure that out. But yeah, click that link in the bio. Then, like we mentioned the last couple episodes, if you haven't already, join the Rocky Mountain Fantasy League. At some point, there's prizes for Rocky Mountain. So if you add our group on Rocky Mountain, you're still eligible for the Rocky Mountain prizes, which there's a hell of a lot of prizes there, including normally it's like a KTM 450. I don't know if they have that again this year for the winner of the overall thing. Obviously not ours, but for ours, I plan on doing, you know, some Moto 247 shirts and hats and whatever we have. So, yeah, definitely add our group and join Rocky Mountain there. And they always have a good thing going each year. Unfortunately, we don't have 250s. I was thinking about adding possibly like a pulp, but I just kind of didn't do it at the last minute there as I made
that. Yeah, that's awesome. We can maybe consider that for next season, or maybe even throwing something in for motocross. I'd be interested in helping out with that. That'd be really cool.
Sure. And I thought about bringing our fantasy back this year. It's just a lot of work and something I was going to go through with, but I didn't have enough time. It was kind of midway through December, and normally I reach out and talk to sponsors in October or so. So I didn't have enough time to talk with sponsors for everything, for prizes and everything for that. But, yeah, that's a lot of work. So I plan on really prepping that early. So it's not 100%, but I definitely want to do some fantasy next year. If not, if I don't run one, probably go through pulp or something for the 250 and 450. But, yeah.
Certainly, man. All right, man. Awesome. I will we'll chat after Anaheim too. Let's hope our predictions pan out and we'll see who wins.
Yeah, good stuff. I gotta keep track of our picks. I didn't last week. So I'm kinda curious if we keep track and just see like how often we're right. And it gets harder and harder every year, like I said. So I just wanna see if any of us get on a hot streak or whatever, and if you guys wanna send us your picks whenever we make our weekly post, because I plan on having at least one show a week. With that being said, it's Recapping Supercross. And if we have another one, it's probably with a guest on board here. So we're going to be posting at least one a week of our podcast, the photo and description, everything. And just if you guys want to comment your picks or just make them in the league, I'm curious to see what you guys have to say as well. And yeah, with that being said, yeah, send in a voice message if you have any questions or any hot takes or anything that you want answered or discussed or whatever. But yeah, anyways, it's going to be a good championship, and yeah, should be some good entertainment this weekend, and should, you know, hopefully lead to a good podcast next Tuesday as well.
Absolutely, man. Super excited. Send in your questions, everybody. We'd be happy to get some interaction here. So I love it, man. Awesome. We'll see you guys Anaheim too.
Sure. Peace out, guys. See you next week.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Moto 247 show. I'd really appreciate it if you guys would go give us a follow on our Instagram pages. We are on there at moto.247 is our main page. Then our podcast page is on there at the Moto 247 show. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening again, and peace out!